Hospitals and health organizations today face so many challenges, and many of those affect the bottom line. One presiding factor in all of this is how patients feel about their level of service, and that's why it's critical to talk about the patient experience. Today, I'm privileged to have one of our leadership team from PRC here with me today. I have been an advocate for vision and leadership in healthcare organizations to do what is right and, bottom line, to care for the patient and give them the best patient experience. Greg Leaf, my friend and co-worker and colleague since the very beginning. He's even actually pulled a few jokes on me in the past, and I'm very much appreciative of that. But he is a vital part of our leadership at PRC, and he is truly a proven leader. So I want to ask you, Greg, this morning, the first question I'll ask is usually the last question I ask in an interview. How do you lead?
Well, that's a great question, John, and thank you for having me on the podcast here. So I think when I think about how I lead or how anyone leads, I think an important first step of that is to examine your why. So for me, my why, you know, everybody has stuff outside of the office, you know, family, personal goals, et cetera.
Yeah.
But my why inside the office, it's really, it's an incredible opportunity as an agent.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a specialized degree. It doesn't matter where you're from. If you're passionate, if you're curious, if you're driven, the sky is really the limit on what you can achieve. So my why inside the office is to protect that path, to nourish that for the people who are coming up as I once did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess to come back to your question of how I lead, I try and take absolute ownership of what I have to do. Yeah. So I know you interviewed Sherry Smith, our trainer here, and she talked about practicing blameless problem solving. And I think this is an extension of that, where it is accepting the fact that if it's under your watch, you are accountable for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
I was locally where I live, was following, I don't want to say I follow politics, but I follow the leaders in our town and our county. And, you know, things have happened that may be a direct result of a decision that they made, but I think you made it when it's under your watch, mm-hmm. that makes it look completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, being under your watch, meaning you've got to be the greatest leader possible. So we are big proponents at PRC of providing for our clients, being an extension of them, excellent service to the patient. And of course, we're very important to provide excellent service to our client, who is the healthcare provider. How do you feel about providing excellent services to the actual patient of our client? How do you lead people in that, in providing that excellent patient service?
Yeah, it's essential, right? I mean, if we don't treat their patients right,
yeah.
we don't deserve the opportunity to interact with them on their behalf.
Yeah.
So I think to answer that question, I'll start at the agent level and work my way back from there. So the most important product that we produce is that 5 to 6 minute conversation where it's the patient and our agent. And it's very, very critical that, you know, we instill in them and they carry on for us, understanding that it's not an active battle, it's a process of discovery. So what I mean by that is it's never a welcome call. You know, when we call somebody in tell them that they owe money.
Yeah,
you know, there's
right.
life situations, there's legitimate questions that they have, there's some kind of situation came up that led to this point.
Yeah.
So we really try to build our processes, our training around viewing patients as a counterpart in resolution mm-hmm. and not necessarily as, you know, an adversarial type situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So zooming out a little bit, the same thing happens when supervisors view their agents.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, if you have an agent who is struggling to do the right thing, we don't want to wallpaper their cubicle with corrective actions and written warnings necessarily right from the get-go.
Yeah.
We, again, it's not an active battle. It's a process of discovery.
Yeah.
So we need to understand and identify, is it an effort issue? Is it a training issue? Is it an
yeah.
aptitude issue? Meet them where they're at and give them the tools they need to get
yeah.
there.
Yeah. yeah. That's a key right there. Meet them where they are at.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, I took this survey, and it wasn't a personality test that I actually took before I came to work for PRC.
Mm-hmm.
It was a inventory, and it was on what my gifts are, my talents. And I actually came out with, kind of surprised, the results of the survey.
What'd you find?
I found that I was gifted in areas that I had no idea I was gifted in. And I think one of them was actually engaging with people. And I found out the gifts that I knew I had, it took engaging with people mm-hmm. to make those gifts real.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the question, what is your gift? What do you feel your gift is?
I'll answer that, but I got to say that survey was spot on. I mean, you're so natural at doing even this type of conversation between
yeah.
the two of us and doing the podcast. It's
yeah.
absolutely your wheelhouse. So,
thank you.
But my gift, you know, I kind of find it a funny question because I don't really think of it as a gift as so much, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to, you know, do what we do and do it well.
Yeah.
But if I was to say one thing, I would say it's maintaining perspective. So
I agree.
In our industry, particularly in operations, everything feels or is marked urgent. You know, emails are flagged urgent. We have so much data coming at us from multiple sources.
Yeah.
You know, the CFPB is issuing bulletins about something. Trade journals are saying, you know, do another thing. You know, the sales team needs items. Clients need items. There is a myriad of things calling to your attention. So I think for me, maintaining that perspective is probably the most important gift that I have, to be able to triage that, to make sense of it, and to determine what is actionable and not just be reactive to everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. It's actually something that my wife, when we were dating, that she commented on about me, is that she would ask me a question and I would pause, I'd consider it, and then I'd provide a response, which seems kind of natural to
yeah.
me, but that thoughtfulness of, you know, approaching your day, particularly when we have so many inputs,
yeah.
helps you really separate the signal from the noise.
Yeah. You'll appreciate this. You know, I was participated in an organization on their board of directors, and actually it's a theatrical group, and actually attended some auditions.
Mm-hmm.
And some people were offended by me because I was so engaging. And then somebody said, you got to realize these people really don't want to engage. They're, you know, they have a different set of gifts and talents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to tone back a little bit. But
so these were people auditioning?
Yes.
That did
yeah.
not want to be engaged?
Yes.
I hope they didn't get the part.
You know, I don't have any idea if they got the part in the world, but if there's any way I could see to it that they not, you know, I mean, I just, they just, I'm just going to refrain. I'm going to plead the fifth here. They were just a different group of people
mm-hmm.
than I'm used to being around. And I did have to step back a little bit and just keep my mouth shut and control it, I guess, is that. So as a leader, do you feel like you've ever failed?
Yes.
Okay. How'd you bounce back?
Well, I'll give you an example of one. You know, certainly if you lead, you're going to fail at some point.
Right.
You know, so an example that I have is we rolled out a particular dialing solution for our agents.
Yeah.
And it was in response to some legislation. It was a necessary change. We didn't, there was no feasible alternative to it.
Yeah.
So I moved forward with getting it set up, getting it tested, getting it into production as soon as possible because it was more efficient for the agency. However, it resulted in a little more wait time for the agent. So what they couldn't see is that for every dial they made, we were making 10 to 20 times the amount of calls we were normally making behind the scenes with answer machines and no answers and that type of
Correct.
Thing. But they didn't understand that. It wasn't communicated to them in that way.
Right.
What was communicated is, hey, you need to get in this pool. Let's go get some money, you know, let's try and make some contacts. So I got feedback from our supervisory team saying, hey, the people hate this. Like they are sitting there saying, man, you're slowing me down.
Yeah.
Like this is costing me money. What's going on? So they brought that feedback to me. And to answer your question, how I bounced back from it is I gathered the data that they couldn't see about how it was good for the enterprise and how they were in fact making more contacts. And I had a floor-wide meeting, and I started off by apologizing to them. You know, they should have had that information up front.
Correct.
Because everybody has a family at home. You know, everybody has their own goals and desires and stuff like that. And if you fundamentally impact someone's job, you owe them an explanation up front why.
Absolutely.
So I kind of had a lesson learned in front of everyone, and immediately after that, people... They got into it, and they understood why
they
were
understood
doing it.
And you bounce back perfectly. As leaders, sometimes, Greg, would you agree that we get our feelings hurt a little bit? We make a decision, and we get our feelings hurt. And I guess that's, to me, that's frustrating as a leader because there is, again, it's one of those opportunities to tweak. And we do bounce back. Let me ask you one question that I think is very important, especially to our leaders, our healthcare providers, our team members. What are your frustrations in leading?
That's a good question. You know, to me, I think one of the most frustrating things is when you see team members damage each other by not living a behavior.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To us in our office, our behaviors are so crucial to... Yeah. To everything, really.
Everything and everybody.
Yeah. It informs our culture. It, you know, anybody can, you know, try and run an operation and make money and do all that. But we don't just want to succeed. We want to succeed and do good things.
Yeah.
And be good to each other and be good to our clients all at the same time. So for me, that's one of the most frustrating things.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my greatest frustrations has been, and you actually helped me to see that, is I had this horrible addiction to achieving and realizing, finally being able to realize that there's a lot of things, you know, I've achieved everything as far as my career is concerned I wanted to do in my career, but, you know, I guess that nervous energy wanted to achieve and achieve more. I really didn't need to. And that's the point when I found out my frustrations was I was always feeling like I had to do something. Mm-hmm. And most of it, 90% of it, really wasn't important.
Yeah.
And that was a good lesson for me. Greg, I thank you for being a great leader at PRC and just a great leader in general. Maybe you should run for public office in Wake County, and I'll do the same thing up in Watauga County. But, you know, I just... you are a great leader and you're a great team member. Thank you for being here and talking about leadership today.
Thank you for having me, John. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us today for the patient experience. Please help us out by sharing our show with a healthcare professional in your life or by leaving us a review on iTunes or your preferred podcast platform.